The following talk is from St. Michael's Fulwell, a gospel-centered community for Fulwell, Teddington, and beyond. Our passion is to see every life following Jesus. For more information, visit our website, stmichaelsfulwell.co.uk.
We're coming to our time in God's Word, and this is the last in our little series called Choose Life. And in a moment, Ed is going to come and speak to us. Do we have a reading first? We do. So Naomi is going to bring us our reading, and I'll leave you to tell us what that is. Mystery reading.
Yeah, it's going to be Proverbs chapter 3, which you can find in the church Bibles on page 636. So Proverbs 3, starting at verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them round your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight.
Why don't I lead us in prayer, as that's working its way around? Ask for God's help as we come to this topic of making decisions, deciding what's next. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you that your word is a light for our path. And please help us now as we think about the decisions of life and how we can make good decisions, decisions that bring life. Please guide us. Please help us to hear your voice and to trust and obey you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the psalmist says we're at the end of this series that is we've called Choose Life. And we've been looking at all sorts of different areas, which is really trying to help us practically live life well. And we've been thinking about how we can choose life when managing stuff, when seeking relationships, when doing our work, when handling power. And today we're thinking about decisions, when we're deciding what's next. Life is full of decisions, isn't it? There are the big decisions, the obvious decisions. You know, where do I live? What church do I go to? What job do I do? Should I get married? Those sort of big decisions. We all know those. But also, there are just hundreds, thousands of little decisions that we make every single day. What am I going to wear today? How am I going to get from A to B? Should I have a tea or a coffee? All sorts of different things. Do you know the Harvard Business Review reckons that the average adult makes 35,000 decisions every day? 35,000 decisions every day, whether to say something or not, or all sorts of different times. We're making decisions all the time. Now, here's the question. What do you like as a decision maker? What do you like? And this handout, hopefully you've now all got it, because this is what you need to do, is I've got a little task for us that you'll just do on your own, maybe get a pen. And this is, you'll see two axes here, and one of them is about how decisive you are in your decision making. Are you really indecisive at one end? At the other end, are you really decisive? But also there's the other axis, the horizontal axis, which is talking about big decisions and small decisions. And in life, we have those big decisions, we have those small decisions, and some areas of life we'll be really decisive in others we'll be really indecisive in. And what I've put down there is just a whole load of different areas of life. And you make this work for you. But, you know, decisions to do with the home, decisions to do with church, marriage, relationships, finance, clothes, work, holidays, serving, food, friends, diary. There could be lots of other things. And what I want you to do is just to spend a few moments with each of these sort of different areas. Plot yourself on that graph where you reckon you would be. So, for example, for me, buying clothes. I am incredibly decisive at buying clothes. You might not think that. You might think you make terrible mistakes as a result. But I go into a shop and I just know whether I like something or not. And I think I just want to get out of that shop as quickly as possible as well. So I know I'm really decisive. Take me to a restaurant and show me a menu. I take forever. I'm completely indecisive. I can't quite decide what's it. I don't know. So I would be high on the decisive. And clothes, you could, I don't know, whether you feel that's a big decision, a bad decision. I'd be moving more on the smaller decisions on that. So I'd be sort of top left-hand corner. Whereas going out for a meal, having a meal, that's not a massive decision. I'm pretty indecisive. I'd be sort of bottom left-hand corner on that. Have a think. Just a way of thinking about how we go about decision-making in our own lives. We'll put a bit of music on the background. Just spend a minute or so plotting yourself around that. And then we'll come back together. Okay, I'm going to bring us back together. Hopefully that's given you a little bit of a feel. Maybe that's something you're very self-aware of. Maybe you haven't really spent much time thinking about how you go about decision-making and how decisive, indecisive you are on different things. One of the things to say about decision-making is that it is very tiring decision-making, particularly if you're indecisive. It can be really tiring. Think back to the pandemic. One of the challenges, it was said of the pandemic, was there were so many new decisions we had to make. And as a result, it was why, in so many ways, it was such an exhausting time. And decision-making can very easily make us feel overwhelmed. Maybe there's one particular decision, you feel it's a massive decision, and you're really unsure about it, and it's causing a tremendous amount of anxiety in your life. Maybe it's just lots of decisions each day that you feel stuck in. You're just not quite sure what to do. It can be a source of tremendous anxiety trying to work out what the right thing to do. And here's the question. What does the Bible say to help us with this? As we make decisions in life, what does the Bible have to say about it? And I really hope this evening can be really practical. We're just going to spend a few minutes hopefully giving some really practical wisdom from the Bible to help us with our lives. But at the start, I just want to say there is really just one big decision to get right in life. Of course, that's not to minimize the significance of other decisions. There are lots of important decisions to make in life, and we want to be wise in those decisions. But there's one massive decision that outweighs all the other decisions. And that is this: to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That is the big decision to make in life. When we become a Christian, that is the decision we're making: to put our faith, our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and for eternal life with him. Each day we wake up, that decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ today is the most significant decision we can make in any day. And I think Proverbs 3 that Naomi read earlier is such a wonderful encouragement to us. Have this as a verse that you see every morning. Stick it on your fridge, whatever you want to do. But this is such great advice. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That is the one big decision to get right in our lives, each day of our lives. And it's worth saying, that's not to say that when we make that decision, everything's going to be easy. That we're going to have a trouble-free life. Jesus said our lives will have troubles in them. Nor does it mean we'll get everything we want. But it does mean, ultimately, we will get life. That's what it means when he says he will make your paths straight. Ultimately, we will receive life, eternal life, the best possible life, with the Lord himself. That is the one big decision to make. Now, we might feel, okay, that feels straightforward. But there's still thousands of decisions, important decisions, that we need to make. And is there any more help that the Bible gives us in making those decisions? I don't know if you've ever been in situations where you just want to know what the right thing to do, and you want to know from the Lord What is the right thing to do? And you might just sort of long for a very specific direct message from him, a vision, a dream, a text message, whatever it might be. You want something from the Lord to tell you, what am I supposed to do in this particular situation? Maybe you've tried to open a Bible at a random page and sort of zeroed in on a verse. Is that going to be the Lord speaking to you in that situation? As I say, sometimes God is incredibly gracious, and he does speak to us in that very direct, specific way. But in my experience, at least, that is quite rare. And I think it's because he wants to do something even deeper in our lives as we go through our lives making decisions. He wants to be shaping our character. He wants to be shaping our heart. He wants to be growing our trust in him. And I think he does that through five particular ways that we're going to look at. And you can see those on the back of the handout. How do we know what we should be doing in our lives? Well, I think there are five particular things that the Lord has given us to help us with decision making. So let's just go through those five. The first is this: the commands of Scripture. This is the most important one. And as I prayed at the beginning, it's wonderful to know that one of the ways in which Scripture is described is as giving light to us, like a lamp for our path. So Psalm 119 says this: your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. It's a great analogy. The other day, I was out in the country, and I thought I'd walk back to where I was staying. I had to walk across a golf course, and I thought, that's fine, I always walk in the dark back home, and you can see where you're going. But of course, it's a bit darker out in the countryside. And walking across this golf course, it was unbelievably dark. It was so difficult to work out where I was going. And the next day, I'd managed to get home eventually. We went for a walk around the same golf course, and the sun was shining, and it was all light, and suddenly you knew exactly where you were going. And sun makes a big difference. Light makes a big difference. And Scripture does that. It's as different from day to night for us. Scripture gives us light for living and decision-making. In fact, it gives us everything that we need. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 puts it like this: all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you see what it's saying there? All of Scripture, which is God-breathed, God's inspired word for us, is useful so that we can be totally equipped for every good work. Not just some good works, everything. Every good work. So Scripture gives us all that we need. Now, there's lots more to say about that, but the most obvious way in which Scripture does that is through explicit commands. There are explicit commands in Scripture about how we should live. And the summary of the Ten Commandments is to love God and love your neighbor. And that is a really clear command about how we're to live our lives when we're making decisions and we want to weigh up whether to do this or not or that. Then we think, well, how can I love God in this situation? How can I honor him? How can I love my neighbor in this situation? In the New Testament, we see that fleshed out in lots more detail. Often, the second part of New Testament letters, the first part often gives the sort of doctrine, tells us about truths about God and about the gospel and what he's done for us. And then the second half often tells us about what this means for our lives. And there are all sorts of really helpful, specific instructions. Not stealing, not lying, don't commit sexual immorality, be kind, forgive, on and on it goes. All sorts of instructions. Now, that's not to say it's easy to do, but it is wonderful, wonderfully helpful that the Bible gives us loads of instructions about how we should live. So it might be the case, if you're weighing up, say, a job, it might be there's some really explicit commands that will help you do this. If this job that you're thinking of doing will involve you having to steal, then it's probably not the right job to do. It's worth saying also in Scripture, the Bible tells us to work the ground, to tend and cultivate the world in which we live. And that is wonderfully liberating to know. So again, thinking about jobs and the stuff we might do as we weigh up what job might be a good job to do. Under that, there's so many different things that that could be related to. So, you know, there is a goodness in being an accountant or in mending cars or building houses or working for the civil service or running a home or raising children or teaching or running a business or collecting rubbish. Whatever it might be, all those things are part of tending the ground, cultivating the world, looking after this world that God has given us. So, Scripture gives us a lot, very specifically, very directly. It gives us everything we need. But you might still say, well, hang on, that doesn't narrow down. There's still loads of decisions that I need to make that Scripture doesn't directly speak about. What next? Well, I think the next point is really significant here. We need to cultivate wisdom, the cultivation of wisdom. How do we cultivate wisdom in our lives? How do we grow wisdom in our lives? Well, one of the key things about wisdom is having the right king. Wisdom emanates from the king. If you've ever read the book of 1 Kings, we did it on a church weekend away a number of years ago, which really speaks about King Solomon, the wise king. And what we see in that book was King Solomon, his reign resulted in great blessing to the people he reigned over. A wise king brings great blessing. And we know that's true in life. In schools, in businesses, in football teams, who the leader is has a huge impact upon the experience of being part of that thing. And the encouragement to us is this: have the right king in our lives. If we want to grow wisdom, have the right king in our lives. If we have the wrong king, then we get the wrong wisdom. If we have the right king, God himself, then we get good wisdom. Again, Proverbs chapter 3 is so helpful and important to us in this. If we trust in the Lord, the true king with all our heart, and lean not on our own understanding or on other kings, and in all our ways, if we submit to this king, then he will make our paths straight. That is how we grow, cultivate wisdom in our lives. And one of the things about this is wisdom doesn't just happen overnight. It takes time. It is a fruit in our lives. And as we know, fruit takes time to grow. And if we're feeling, well, I need a bit more help than that. Well, be encouraged by this verse from James chapter 1, where we read this: if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. If we're lacking wisdom, let's turn to God in prayer. Let's pray. And it's something we often don't do when we've got a decision to make. It's very easy to forget to pray and to forget to ask God for wisdom in this situation. And there's a wonderful invitation to do that. Ask God for wisdom, and then he will, he says here, he will give it to us. And actually, one of the things I think, one of the ways in which this works is that the very act of asking God for wisdom is an act of kind of saying, God, I want you to be king. I want you to be Lord. I want you to be in charge. And then with that, wisdom comes. So, first, the commands of Scripture. Two, the cultivation of wisdom. But God gives more wonderfully. And that brings us to the third point, the counsel of friends. We don't just want wisdom from within ourselves. Why not benefit from the wisdom of others? The wisdom of church family, of other Christians, of other people in our lives. Here are a couple of Proverbs. You might be able to apply these to our world today. Proverbs 20, verse 18. Plans are established by seeking advice. So if you wage war, obtain guidance. Similarly, Proverbs 24, verse 6. Surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors. If you're the leader of a nation, you will really benefit from seeking wisdom and advice from others. And if you don't do that, you're probably going to make some massive mistakes. Now, I'm not saying anything about the world today, but you might be able to think of one or two leaders who perhaps have created a situation where they don't actually receive wisdom from people around them. People around them will only say what they want to hear, or they've isolated themselves from others. How does this apply in our own lives? It's very easy to isolate ourselves from others, particularly when we've got a big decision to make. It can feel a bit awkward asking for someone else's advice. Maybe pride slightly stops us from doing it, or we don't want to bother somebody with it. We feel it's too small a thing. But friends are a great blessing. Church family are a great blessing to ask other people's thoughts. And it's worth saying, when you receive advice from others, don't necessarily assume they've got it right. You want to weigh it up. It might be really great wisdom. It might not be good advice. But it's a wonderful thing to go out and to ask other people to help us. So, the commands of Scripture, the cultivation of wisdom, the counsel of friends. Fourth, the circumstances of life. How do we know what we should be doing? Well, the circumstances of life often shape it more than we sometimes think. Stuff happens in life. And actually, the choices we have are much more limited than sometimes we think they might be. Proverbs 16, verse 9, I think, hints towards this. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. And I think that verse is getting at something. We can have great big ideas, great big thoughts about what life might look like, but actually, things just turn out a little bit differently. Stuff happens in our lives. Stuff around us that's out of our control. And so when we make decisions, it's worth thinking about, well, what are the circumstances of my life? What is the history of my life? Who am I? What have I been affected by? So, for example, I studied at A-level history, geography, and politics. Would it be a good idea for me to apply for a job at MPL down the road? Would that be in any way good for anybody? It would be a disaster. I'm terrible at science. I should not be working for MPL. It's an obvious, silly example, but the circumstances of our lives do sort of push us in certain directions, and it's worth thinking a little bit about those. The history of St. Michael's is affected by that a little bit. About 10 years ago or so, Sally and I were looking for what the next step would be. We wanted to be part of a church plant, and we looked to initially something actually further into town, and the door just shut on that. It's out of our control. The door just closed, and so we sort of started to cast our net a little bit wider, and the bishop said, well, what about St. Michael's here? And actually thinking about the circumstances of my life at that time, it made lots of sense. I used to be a teacher just around the corner here in Hampton. I knew the area. I knew people in the area. And it all sort of just, the circumstances pushed us in that direction, and it just sort of made sense. And often that's the case with decisions. The circumstances direct us. So it's worth thinking, what are my circumstances? What's my history, my experience? What are my gifts? Okay, finally, the conviction of the Spirit. This is important. See how Paul puts it in Acts 20. It's quite striking. The Apostle Paul, he's on his way to Jerusalem, and he says this, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there." There's something going on inside Paul. He's compelled by the Spirit. There's an inner conviction, an inner calling in that situation. Now, we need to be careful with this when we make decisions. We can very easily deceive ourselves. Sin is alive and active in our lives. And we can be very easily deceived into stuff by ourselves. Hence, we need the first four in our lives. We need the commands of Scripture. We need wisdom. We need the counsel of friends. But likewise, don't dismiss inner conviction. The Spirit is also alive and active in our lives. So, there you go. Those are five things that the Lord has given us to help us make decisions. The commands of Scripture, the cultivation of wisdom, the counsel of friends, the circumstances of life, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So let's just give you one very quick example of this. Here might be something, you might be someone thinking, should I go into full-time gospel ministry? It's just a question that is actually something we should all ask of ourselves. If we're a Christian, we're longing to serve the Lord, should I be giving more time to that? Would that be a good thing to do? How can these five things help us think that one through? Well, they're the commands of Scripture. Well, that's clear. It says we need to be part of a church. We need to preach the word. We need to go and make disciples. But then we need wisdom on this. We might be thinking, well, I hate public speaking. And I'm not sure I could get over that. And that might be a reason not to do something like that. The counsel of friends. We could ask other people, what do you think? Do you think I should think about going into full-time gospel ministry? Might that be something that's right for me? And our friends might sort of look at you in horror, or they might burst out laughing, or something like that. That might be an indication. Or they might say, do you know what? Yeah, that could be something. And that completely changes the conversation, doesn't it? The circumstances of life. Just thinking, look, is this doable? Is this doable now? Would this work? There'd be an inevitable step of faith in these things, but it's not ungodly to be thinking through, you know, my life stage, my health, my finances. And then finally, the conviction of the Spirit. Do I sense that God is in it? Now, that's one specific example. There are so many. And it's worth just thinking, what in your life at the moment are you wanting to make a decision on? Is it about something to study, about uni, about jobs, about where to live, about a relationship? And think it through with these five areas: the commands of Scripture, the cultivation of wisdom, the counsel of friends, the circumstances of life, the conviction of the Spirit. As we close, one final thought. We might be thinking, oh, all this talk about decisions reminds me how many bad decisions I've made. And we might be thinking, what do I do with that when I just make bad decisions in life? And sometimes we can think of our lives like this, that we're sort of going into a maze and there's one route that's been set out for us and I make the wrong turning at some point and that's it, done. Life has just been, I'm on plan B or C or D or E or whatever it might be. That's not actually how God works. That isn't how God works. Somehow, in God's sovereignty, we never go outside his ultimate will. And that's not to say we always make the right decisions. It's not to say we can't make really bad choices and we live with the circumstances, the consequences of that. But know this, God will work his purposes in our lives. Romans 8, verse 28 puts it like this. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That is a wonderful verse if we're conscious of bad decisions in our life. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It's like a tapestry. Look at the tapestry from one side, and it loads of loose ends. It looks incredibly messy. And that's often what our lives look like and the consequence of the decisions that we made. And yet, turn it the other way, and a beautiful tapestry has been put together. And that is what the Lord is doing in our lives. It's what the Lord has done with the whole of history, and particularly this week as we think about the events of that first Easter. It is very striking to see how the Bible's really clear that many terrible decisions were made on that first Easter. The terrible decision to crucify the Son of God. It doesn't get a worse decision than that. And yet, though it was intended to harm, in God's purposes, he intended it for good, for the saving of many lives. Knowing that this is the God that we follow, the God who does good for those who love him. That brings us great comfort. It eases our anxiety. It encourages us to make that big decision, to follow him, to trust in him. Well, let's just take a moment of quiet and just give a sort of a little bit of time now. Particularly, maybe think of one particular decision that you are wanting to think through at the moment. And just bring it before the Lord. Why not pray for wisdom? Why not think? Are there particular commands in Scripture that bear on this decision? Bring it before the Lord. And I'll lead us in prayer in a little bit. Almighty God, we want to bring before you this evening our lives. Lord, thank you that you care about even the smallest decisions we make day by day. Lord, thank you that in your sovereignty, you are working good for all of us that follow you. And Lord, we do pray that in our lives we might day by day make that one big decision to trust you, to submit to your ways. And to know as we do so, life in all its fullness. We pray this for your glory and for our good. Amen.